Are you comfortable? Aren't those seats nice and comfortable? It's actually like sloped seating down. It's like, so I know you were just standing. But you know, in the Bible, it says that they stood for the word of the Lord. So we're going to have you just stand just to hear God's word here, and then you get to sit. So I want to read to you the bookends as we really enter into an interesting topic today. So the bookends of the Gospel of John in the 8th chapter. So here we go. You ready? So John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay? Toward the end of the chapter, it says in John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. So check this out. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Jesus says, I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. At this, they exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. Do you like being called a liar? But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad. You're not yet 50 years old, they said to him. How have you seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to kill him. But he hid himself and slipped away from the temple grounds. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. They reveal to us who God is. Father, we pray this morning that you would just bless the public reading of scripture and the study of your word. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would send the Holy Spirit upon our hearts that we might understand spiritual things and spiritual truths. We pray, Lord God, that you would just be blessed in this assembly, God, that all of us would understand Jesus better today. And Lord, we pray for the one behind the pulpit this morning. Help this person to speak clearly and without error. And God, this would be done for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus and nothing else. This we pray in your name, and all those who love the Lord would say, amen. And you may be seated. So let's start off this morning with a question. How many people in here like to argue with other people? Raise your hand. How many people in here love arguments, love to argue with people, really enjoy arguments with people? Here's a definition of an argument. So, and these are in your notes. You can check this out. So what is an argument? An argument is one or more premises, statements, or propositions directed to arriving at a logical conclusion demonstrating the truth or error of a claim. It can lead to heated disagreements or verbal disputes between two or more people. When was the last time you were in an argument? Do you remember? Do you remember who it was with? Do you remember what it was about? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? So my dad always told me, Frankie, there's two things you should probably never get in a discussion with a person. There's two topics you should probably try to avoid or be really wise in entering into these. Does anyone know what those two topics are? Politics and religion. Politics and religion are kind of those topics. Was my dad right? See, why do these two topics create such arguments? Heated disagreements. Well, one of the reasons is because they deeply impact our lives. Politics and religion impacts our lives in very deep ways. FYI, I just want to let you know this morning that America was created over an argument between the colonies and the King of England. And the argument was actually written out in a document called the Declaration of Independence. Has anyone ever heard of this? This is a part of the argument. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that all mankind is what they mean, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Politics rooted in religion created an argument leading to a disagreement called the Revolutionary War that in the end created what's called the United States of America. Did you guys know that? There's a document listing this argument and the reasons, and this thing escalated into all-out war, 10 years. This country was created over a disagreement of politics and religion. In the Declaration of Independence, the presupposition that God exists and God gives certain unalienable rights to human beings made in his image, and it's the job of the government to serve the people, not the people to serve the government. This was an argument. King George didn't like this in England. Sometimes arguments and disagreements are unavoidable and necessary. May God give us the wisdom in dealing with them. Amen? Here's the deal. John chapter 8 records an argument Jesus had the religious leaders 6 months before they had him killed on a cross. The Gospel of John chapter 8 is like toward the last, it's like 6 months, like Jesus, like 2.5 ministries of Jesus' ministry has come and gone, man. And it's just cruising into, it's kind of interesting. When you read the Gospel of John, John records really that last year, a big chunk of Jesus' last year of his life. And in John chapter 8, it's in the fall, it's during the time of the Jewish holiday of Sukkot or Tabernacles. And everybody thought that Jesus was definitely coming to this event. And he tricked them by showing up at halftime. This is John chapter 7. So Jesus shows up halfway into this festival that lasted like over a week. And he goes up, he starts teaching in the temple. And everybody's like, he showed up at halftime. The religious leaders were watching for him, but when he didn't show up, their guard was let down. And all of a sudden, he's in the temple teaching, John chapter 7. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, he's here. He gets, go get the police and arrest him. This is John 7. The cops come back without Jesus. Temple guard, where is he? Nobody is taught like this guy. And the religious leaders are like, he's tricked you too. None of us leaders are taken by his sway. And then Nicodemus says, whoa, time out a second. And he starts defending Jesus. And then they rip into him. You're just from Galilee. Go read the scriptures. No prophet comes out of Galilee. This is what's happening. Huge disagreements in John chapter 7, right? By the way, they're wrong. And we'll talk about there is a prophecy that a prophet comes out of Galilee. Isaiah 9. Actually, he's more than a prophet. We'll talk about it in a minute, right? So that's John 7. Finally, the religious leaders go, he's at the temple. Welcome to John 8. Let's get him. This woman's been caught in an adultery. Moses says to stone her, what do you say? This is Pastor Vince did a great sermon on this a couple weeks ago, right? Jesus destroys them. shows that these people are, it's a scam, half-truths, they're liars. He ends up calling them a liar because they were lying about this. This wasn't totally true. They're just trying to trap him. Don't you love Jesus? And he destroys them, man. And after he does this publicly, he declares, "I am the light of the world. He who walks in me will not walk in darkness, and actually will find the light of life." What a statement. Message of last week. After Jesus says this, the rest of John 8 is just the recording of a huge argument that Jesus has with the religious leaders. It's a public argument. It's a heated disagreement Jesus had with them. And in this argument, the religious leaders call Jesus a bastard, which means that he was born of fornication. So they've had spies look into the background, see if they can find anything in Jesus' background. They find out that his mom was pregnant before she got married. So they call him a bastard. Then they say he's a Samaritan. That's not a compliment. They're racist. They call him demon-possessed. Not a compliment. If somebody looks at you and says, "You're demon-possessed," that is not supposed to, like, bless you, right? And at the end of this argument, they want to commit assault and battery and murder. It's an argument. It's an argument. Welcome to John chapter 8. You guys, John chapter 8 is intense. It's actually not pleasant to read because there's a tone and a hostility in it. I personally don't enjoy arguments, and I don't enjoy seeing arguments. Do you? And I'm actually sure that the Apostle John, who recorded John chapter 8, who saw this, it wasn't pleasant for him to see. But when he's writing his gospel, he says this, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's important that Christians are made aware of what happened in this argument and what it's about and why it's important. That's why it's recorded. Does anyone know what the argument centers around? What was the topic of the argument? Who is Jesus? People still argue about this today. And that's, if you're going to take notes with me, that's the first thing you need to write down. So what was the argument? The argument centers around, who is Jesus? And that's note number one. If you want to take notes and then talk about this later, it all is surrounding, who do you think you are? Okay? So let me just read this again. Is there tone in this? Okay. It's John 8, 23 through 25. And he was saying to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they were saying to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "What I have been saying to you from the beginning." Jesus says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He who? He who? That's the billion-dollar question. Who is Jesus? Where is he from? Where does he originate? What's his nature? What's the essence of his being? If somebody was to ask you who Jesus is, what would you say? Behold the mystery, right? The essence of the argument Jesus was having with the religious leaders in John chapter 8, 2,000 years ago, was about him. It was about him. And it's so interesting. So, and if you really want to, if you just do a study in John chapter 5, John chapter 6, John chapter 7, leading into John chapter 8, you'll see that there is mass confusion amongst the people. So in John chapter 5, Jesus heals this man at the pools of Bethesda. Awesome. Then he says, I and the Father are one. They have a problem with that. That's John 5. John 6, Jesus feeds the multitudes, the fish and the loaves, but he declares to them, I've come from heaven. And they go, isn't this Mary and Joseph's son? What does this guy mean he came from heaven? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no place. Oh, this is just difficult. They're struggling with Jesus. That's John 6. In John 7, there's total confusion. Some think he's a nut job. Some think he's amazing. There's a lot of confusion about Jesus. Is he a deceiver? Is he a good man? You guys, 2,000 years ago, people were struggling with Jesus. And I want to make this really clear. They weren't struggling with Jesus so much in what he's doing, okay? They're struggling with Jesus in what he's saying. I have a picture of you. I like to shoot this up. It's a picture of Moses. The Jewish people have no problem with miracles. As a matter of fact, their whole existence is based on the miracles of God. Okay? But here's the deal. Moses never said, I have come from heaven. Moses never said, I and the Father are one. Moses never said he's the Son of God. And then Jesus comes and does stuff like this. He walks on water, raises the dead, feeds 5,000 men. That means like 15,000 people with fish and bread. Miracles. Jesus comes and does this stuff. And they love it. They got no problem with miracles. But they're really struggling about who he says he is. And that's note number two. Just write this down. This is important. You can talk about this. In John chapter 5 through 8, people don't struggle with Jesus, with what Jesus is doing, but they're having a huge problem with what he's saying about his identity. So here we are in the argument of John chapter 8. And here we go. You ready? So here's Jesus. Picture this. There's Jesus. Miracle man walks on water, raises the dead. This is a public argument, right? You're watching this at the Temple Mount. There's the religious leaders, and boy, are they ticked at him. They tried to trap him. He blew him away, and now they're just trying to snag him in his statements. So here comes the argument. A big chunk of it. Truly, truly, Jesus says. That means truth, truth. Or listen. When Jesus says truly, truly, this is really important. I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Now we know that Jesus is speaking of the second death, or spiritual death, or eternity in the absence of God. See, we're all going to die physically, but not all of us have to die spiritually, to be spiritually separated from God, because Jesus pays for our sins on the cross, right? Jesus says, if you believe in him, you won't taste the second death. This is what he's saying, and we know this now, right? Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And he's talking about the biggie, the important one. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Who do you make yourself out to be, right? Who do you think you are claiming to have authority over death? See, who is Jesus making himself out to be? John chapter 5, John chapter 8, 54 and 55, Jesus answered. Okay, let me answer you. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he's our God. You have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you, because you guys just lied with that woman at the well. Not a compliment, by the way. That's tempers flaring, right? But I do know him, Jesus says, and I keep his word. Jesus says, it's the Father who glorifies me. Does anyone know, how does the Father glorify Jesus? By his miracles. The Father is glorifying Jesus by the miracles that Jesus is doing. You claim that you know God, Jesus says. And by the way, that's a knowing. That's a formal knowing. If I was to come up to you and enter, can I shake your hand? Shake your hand. Hi, my name's Frank Winans, and you are? Now I get to know you. It's a formal knowing. Jesus says, you claim to know God. Shake, 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 shake. Jesus says, I know him, gnosko, means know with intimacy, to know personally. He says, you claim that you know God. You don't know him. I know him. It'd be like me shaking your head, hi, nice to meet you, and you meet me, and then my kid runs up and gives me a big hug and says, hi, Dad. Different types of knowing. That's in the wording. Jesus says, you claim that you know the Father. Yeah, you don't know him like I know him. I know him with intimacy. I'm doing miracles. God the Father's, I know God the Father. You think you know him, you don't know squat. Jesus goes on. Your father Abraham also rejoiced to see my day. Who do you think you are? You're greater than our father Abraham? Dude, father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it. That means, hey, is Abraham dead? Is he spiritually dead? Answer, no. He's alive. He's alive. Jesus speaks that there is a life beyond the grave, and Abraham knew of Jesus and saw him. That's cool. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham even existed, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to stone him, but he slipped away. Before Abraham, I am. You guys, who is Jesus calling himself to be? I am is the sacred name for deity that Moses heard at the burning bush. God, you're sending me to your people in Egypt to deliver them? If they ask me your name, what should I say? God says, say to them, I am has sent you. I am what I am. I am God. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I'm the author of days. I am has sent you. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus in John 8 makes clear, people, the towering meaning of his claim that he eternally existed even before Abraham. I am. I have always been, says Jesus. Check this out. I am the God of the burning bush. Let me show you that picture again. Here's Moses, okay? Okay. There's Moses. Who does Jesus make himself out to be? Did Moses cause the Red Sea to part? Answer? Then who did? God. Who does Jesus say he is? God. God. Jesus says, I am God in human flesh. I'm not Moses. I'm greater than Moses. I'm the one that's behind it all. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God becomes flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is saying that he's God. on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem 6 months before they kill him. And are they happy to hear this? Do they have any problem with his miracles? Answer. Do they have a problem with who he says he is? Answer. Totally. By the way, the scriptures calls Jesus God in John 1:1, John in 1:18, John 5:18, John 8:58, which we're studying now, John 20, 28 and 29, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, Romans chapter 9, verse 5, Titus 2:13, 2 Peter 1:1, just to name a few. Is there any confusion? See, here's the deal. People know this. It's really important. Jesus is God. He's the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. You need to know this. When the religious leaders heard Jesus say this, they were going to kill him. Now, if you were there, would you have wanted to kill him? Anyone? Anyone? So you're at the Temple Mount, you just heard that. Would you want to kill him? You just heard it, right? Would you pick up stones? Would you be willing to kill the one who walks on water? Are you ready to kill someone who rose people from the dead? Are you willing to kill somebody who just did a miracle of feeding 5,000, 15,000 people 6 months ago? Are you willing to kill this guy? Are you ready to take that on? Note number three, write this down. Very important. In John 8, Jesus identifies himself as God. That's pretty crazy, really. Jesus is calling himself God. Jesus is teaching that there's a oneness of the Godhead, that he and the Father are one in essence and substance. He and God the Father are a plurality of the oneness of the one true God. Jesus says he pre-existed before Abraham, before the world was. Jesus later said this when he was praying. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. How long has Jesus been around for? Answer? A long time ago. I don't know, right? How long have you existed for? Born, died, tombstone, okay? We all have a beginning. How long has Jesus been around for? Everybody do this. Like, a really long time. That's he's claiming. Dude, who do you think you are? I've been around like a long time. Abraham, how old are you? You're not even 50. He's more like 33, you know, right? How long have you been around for? Really long time. Would you have killed him? Okay, here's the deal. I got one of these. You guys got one of these? For us Christians, this is not a mystery anymore. See, here's what's so cool. Okay, so bookends, okay? John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Ends with, I am God, okay? Why is this such a mystery? For you and I in here, for me, this is totally clear. Because 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah spoke. In Isaiah chapter 9, we talked about this a little bit last week. Isaiah chapter 9, 1 and 2. Here's the prophecy 700 years before Jesus was born. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who live in distress. In the past, he humbled the land or the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. But in the future, this is Isaiah, coming 700 years later, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. People People who walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, light has dawned, right? The prophecy is God's going to bring divine light to the world again, starting at the Sea of Galilee. Now, God is going to be sending this divine light into the world through who? Jesus. What does Isaiah 9 say? 9:6. Anyone, does this look familiar? Merry Christmas? What does the prophecy say? God is going to bring divine light into the world through who? Right? He's going to bring divine light into the world through a divine human being. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Who is this divine light coming through? Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What's the prophecy? See, for us now, I got one of these. They were there. Go search the scriptures. Nothing says that there's no prophet coming out of Galilee. Actually, it says the Son of God's coming out of Galilee. Divine light is coming into the world through a divine human being. How much is Jesus 100% human? Answer, yes. Is Jesus 100% God? Answer, yes. Isn't that what the prophecy says? Isn't that what Jesus says? Jesus is the fulfillment. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God, the second person of the triunity of the Godhead. Is this true? Yes or no? Is this truth worth having a discussion or an argument over? Yes or no? Why is it important to know this? Why? Is this even worth having a discussion over? Why is this so important? John chapter 8, 24. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Does this sound important to Jesus? He's willing to go to mat on this one. Jesus is willing to die on a hill for this one. There's some arguments. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to really fight on this one? Jesus says, unless you understand this and believe this, you're going to die in your sins. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He who? He's the one that comes to remove your sins from you so that when you die, you won't take your sins with you into eternity. All of you in here, I'm sure you're a very nice person. And I'm sure you're a good person. Are you a good person? How would you grade yourself as a good person? Are you a good person? Are you better than other people? Are you gooder than other people? That's not a word, Pastor Frank. I know. Are you a good person? Does good people go to heaven? Answer, no. Jesus says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Who goes to heaven? Good people? Good people don't go to heaven. Morally perfect people go to heaven. Are you a morally perfect person? Do you know that every one of you has moral boundaries of relationship that you choose to associate with other people? People behave a certain way and you go, I don't want to be with them. You cancel them, okay? All of us have moral boundaries of relationship. I've had a busy week this week. On Friday, I drove up to Big Bear and did a wedding for my friend Kenny. My friend Kenny, second marriage, man. God bless my friend Kenny. Problem was, it was the same weekend that we were having a men's retreat. So, okay, well, I'll race back and speak tomorrow, last night, which I did. See, Kenny married his beautiful wife. They have a moral boundary of relationship. They're getting married. You know why Kenny left his first marriage? Because his wife had an affair on him. And they got divorced. That relationship no longer exists. She broke a moral boundary of relationship and their marriage divorced. All of us made in the image of God, we all have a moral boundary of relationship. Where do we get that from? God. God gives us this. And God has a moral boundary of relationship. It's called holiness. God is perfect and holy and just. God is absolute purity. He's total light. And God loves you and wants you to be with him. But the problem is you don't measure up to him. You morally offend him in word, action, thought, and deed. There lies the great problem. And not only that, but is it right for a judge to let crimes go unpunished? If God is the judge of the earth and we lie and we cheat and we steal, how does he allow himself to hang out with you? You would corrupt his very being. You guys, check this out. You have a little dog that shows up and there's this little puppy dog and this thing's got like dried poop all over it. He's got fleas all over it. He's got maggots. I mean, this thing is disgusting, but he's really cute and he's looking at you. Would you bring that dog into your house? Wouldn't you clean him up first? Do you know that's what God does with you and me? He cleans us up. Who's the person that cleans us? He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. That's the scriptures. Jesus cleanses you from the cross. He takes all the stuff that you did upon himself and then he pays for it on the cross so you don't have to. No second death. You don't take your sins into heaven because Jesus took all your sins on the cross and paid for them. And it's really important, Jesus says, that you know this. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So you're either going to take your sins with you to heaven or into the afterlife, or you're going to let Jesus take care of them for you. How important is it that you understand this and know this? Jesus says this is really important, and this is worth a discussion and an argument over. Here's note number 5, really important. Jesus says in John 8 that if you know who he is and receive what he did for you, you will not die on your sins. Is this serious stuff? On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this one? Is this important? Will this radically impact your life? For how long will this impact your life for? How long do you plan on living for in eternity? How long is forever? How long's forever? How do you measure eternity? Is that important? See, to Jesus, by the way, who they're going to hang him up there, it's kind of like him saying, what I'm about to do, you better know why, who I am and why I'm doing this. It's really important to me that you know this. And not only that, but you receive this, right? It's really important. You understand it, and you receive it. So here's the point. So here's John chapter 8. Read it. It records an argument that Jesus had with the religious leaders. And Jesus didn't back down. He was willing to fight for this one. This was the discussion, right? And here's note number 6, last note. In John 8, Jesus teaches us that arguments about the truth of God are important. See, here, when I read John chapter 8, I'm like, man, this must have been intense. Man, this is tough. And I'm listening to this, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, it's so sad. Here's the Son of God defending himself. This is crazy. Okay, but I get it, man. His claims are pretty crazy. But are they true? And Jesus is sitting there saying, this discussion is so important. There are some things worth having a discussion over. So, what was the sermon today? Oh, I went to church. What, did I miss one?
Yes, four.
What was four? What's number four? See, dude, write this down. Isaiah 9 and John 8 both teach that God was bringing divine light to the world through a divine human being. I was testing you to see if you were taking notes. Good job. Give her an A. Dude, this is prophecy, right? Okay. So, you went to church today, yep. What was the sermon about? Pastor Frank said that we should go have arguments with people about God. Great. Let me try to... That's not totally what I'm saying. But kind of. Okay, here you go. An argument is one or more premises, statements, or propositions directed toward arriving at a logical conclusion demonstrating the truth or error of a claim. That's a definition of an argument. It can also lead, doesn't have to, but it can also lead to heated disagreements or verbal disputes between two or more people. Not always. It's not always has to be that way. Argument. Can I use a different wording? Conversation. Is it important to have conversations about Jesus? Yes. Or a productive dialogue. Could I say that? Or a healthy verbal engagement. Pastor Frank said we should have healthy verbal engagements about Jesus. What's the objective? Truth. 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 In John chapter 8, who's the one being nasty? Who's the one calling him a bastard? Who's the one calling him demon-possessed? Who's the one calling him a Samaritan, a racial slur? Who's the one wanting to kill him? All Jesus said was, I would be a liar like you. Which is totally true. There are liars. There are some discussions that are worth dying over. That's the point. There are some discussions that are worth engaging in. This is what Jesus teaches me, who doesn't like to argue. Pastor Frank, you know the world's flat? People tell, really? Okay, so if you believe, I don't mean to offend you if you think the world's flat, okay? I don't believe that. I believe the world's a sphere. Actually, the Bible says it is. Now, I've had, Pastor Frank, you know the world's flat. When I'm just going to be honest from my heart. When people say that to me, I really think, do I really want to spend the energy and the effort to discuss this personally? I honestly, let me just be honest. I have more important things to do than to discuss this. Okay? That's just me. And if you think the world's flat, God bless you. Do I really want to die on this hill? But what Jesus teaches me and what Jesus teaches you in John chapter 8 is that discussing who Jesus is and what he did is worth your energy, is worth figuring it out. You need to know who he is and what he did. And this is really important discussion because eternity rests on it. there are some arguments worth having. And don't be a jerk. Jesus was not a jerk. No jerks for Jesus. Do I hear an amen? No jerks for Jesus. Don't be a jerk. They were being a jerk. They were the one that were hostile. They're the ones that's name calling. They were Jesus didn't do that, but he spoke truth and he wasn't going to back down. This is the message. This is what's important. This is John chapter 8. Christian, listen to me. Don't be afraid to share the truth about Jesus with your grandkids, with your kids, with your neighbors, with your friends, with your wife, with your husband, with your mom, with your dad, with your brother, with your sister, with your enemy, with your friend, with your coworkers. Don't be afraid. This is one worth your energy. That's the message. That's the application. That's John chapter 8. As I'm writing this, I was thinking of shooting up a picture of me at the age of like 20 years old, sitting in Hawaii with my cousin Steve, as I went and stayed with him for a week on the North Shore of Oahu. I was actually 19. And he looked at me and said, Frankie needs Jesus. And he said that he was praying that whole week, Lord, I need to talk to Frankie about Jesus. He's like, because I'm lost. He invited me to church on Sunday. And I felt really obligated to go because he was so nice to me. But in my mind, I'm like, stink. I didn't say that in my head. He's a Christian, doggone it. And he took me to church. And on the way home, man, we had this conversation. And I pushed back hard. He just sat there and told me who Jesus is and what he believes and why he believes it and why it's true and why you need to think about it. And he's a big wave surfer, man. This guy's a stud. I'm listening to Steve and I'm like, dude, he began a conversation with me that I ended up having to figure out within the next year or so. And I'm so grateful for him that he had the courage to look at me and say, I needed to talk to this guy. He was one of many that started lining up. It's important. Don't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. I ask God that you would help us to know you, Jesus. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Who are you, Jesus? You are really controversial. Do you realize that, Jesus? Jesus, do you realize that people are arguing about you 2,000 years later here on planet Earth? Some people think you're a liar. Some people think you're a lunatic. Some people think you're the Christ. Some people think you're just a good moral teacher. Some people think you're just one of the seven manifestations of destiny. Some just say you're a prophet, Jesus. Everybody's arguing about you, Jesus, just like back then. And here we are, God, trying to figure you out. I pray, Lord, that all of us in this room would figure out who you are. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to come to the truly, that we would truth figure out who you are, that you are the prophesied Christ, the Son of the living God, who died on a cross to remove our sins so that we might be with God in heaven. Why? Because God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God loves us so much he cares, and he takes that little dog and cleans us up, washes us clean and calls us his own because he loves us. Thank you, God, for wiping away the ugliness of our lives before a holy God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the gospel, really important. Lord, help us to understand this. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. You know what we should do? We should worship the Lord right now. We should think on this. We should think on the Lord Jesus. I would encourage you, and we're going to sing a couple songs, and I need you just to close your eyes and think on Jesus and just talk to him. Let's worship him. Let's sing to him. Let's try to figure him out. Let's let this digest. Let's stir this in a little bit. You know what we need to do right now in the next two songs? If you're here today and you need prayer, if you came to church today and your life's bad and you need to just bring your prayer request before the Lord, you need to come forward here in these next two songs and let us pray for you and pray a blessing over you in the name of Christ. You come here today. You might have physical needs. You might have emotional needs. You might be sitting here today going, okay, that's it. I'm going to accept Christ. Come on up. And we'll just pray. We'll lead you right now. You can accept Jesus and have all your sins washed away right today. A great exchange. You might hear today, you just need the Lord. So I'm going to ask for the leaders to come up and stand here. And we're here to pray with you if you need prayer. But all of us, you know what we need to do right now? We need to think on this. So we're going to worship Jesus. Okay? Lord, we're thinking on you. We're here to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're here to worship you, God, with our brains and with our hearts. Jesus, send your spirit upon us. This we pray in your name. Amen.